September 2nd, 1988, and we have with us Carrie Rossum. You want to say your name?
My name's Carrie Rossum.
Okay.
You said it right.
Where were you born?
I was born in Manhattan, Mount Sinai Hospital.
New York City?
Yes.
When?
November 20th, 1957.
And, what's your permanent address?
Who wants to know?
I need to know.
Oh, this is just for information purposes? Okay.
So I always, you know, in case I have to
just
contact
for you to,
yes.
Yeah, 23 East 10th Street, New York, 10003.
Okay, as you know, I'm doing this book called Attic, and I'm photographing 50 attics, and I have the photograph on one page, like the photograph I just took of you on one page, and then another page of your story, what you think's important about you and your recovery, and what happened, and your hope, and your message, and your spiritual path today. And I'm not sure if I'm going to have one page or two pages or whatever. You can talk as long as you'd like.
I don't want my last name.
And it's going to be edited and stuff like that, and there's not going to be any real tradition violations or anything, but it's actually me and everybody and what I identify with and everything like that. And hopefully people will realize who we really are. And it's actually an art book, like Diana with Richard Avedon. Along those lines. It's not like...
You pictured the book. Sounds great.
So let it rip.
But is my last name going to be it?
Yeah. You're going to be married by the time the book comes out. Let it rip. What happened to you as a child? Start from your childhood. Your feelings growing up.
I felt different. I felt very awkward. I felt everything hit a peak when my father died. I was 11. And my grandparents both died like a couple of months later. And I felt like if I started to cry, the whole world would come apart. And I felt like I had to be okay or else my mother would fall apart. And that's when I started using, so that I wouldn't have to feel bad. It was the only thing that enabled me to keep the smile on my face and act okay. And I was also going into junior high school and feeling awkward, and it kept me from wanting to be uncomfortable at all. It made me cool, like instantly cooler than anybody, because I was I sought out drugs. I didn't know anybody who got high. And I just decided I wanted to do it, and I sort of went looking. I knew a friend's older brother was the right age. I wanted to find drugs. I did a lot of geographics. I joined the Hare Krishnas when I was 13. I had other gurus. I had heroes who were writers. I had heroes who were rock and roll bands. I followed everybody around. I hitchhiked to Colorado because I wanted to stay with these writers, and I did. I went everywhere trying to be near the dead and all that. I never got into anything halfway. I was always like looking for the experience. I took a lot of acid. I believed in acid. I was at first, in fact, I had a hard time in NA because I felt like I really definitely thought drugs were different. There were good drugs and there were bad drugs. I didn't believe in downs or alcohol. I believed they were a government plot to make us stupid, and that acid would like open our minds and pot and things. And of course, that all changed. Of course, I ultimately took everything. I always try to look like I was normal. I always did good on the outside. My outsides always looked good. I did well in school. I always had jobs, boyfriends, apartments. I could always make try to convince people that I was okay, because look at my accomplishments, look at how well I look, but I was always like just holding it together. Inside I was miserable, I felt alone. I felt like nothing meant anything to me. People were just props in my life. I lived in California. I moved there when I was 18. I started making a lot of money selling drugs. And I started taking more exotic drugs with all the money. And maybe I had seen too much with all the acid I had taken. And I started to hurt. Cocaine gave me a nice rush. I got into heroin because everything just hurt too much. And that's what you want to hear, right, in the story. I left California. I thought I became a punk rocker. I was always changing my externals. You know, I was a hippie, and then I thought, well, the hippies do heroin, but they don't use needles, and I'm going to like be a violent punk rocker. And I sort of like dyed my hair black and started using needles, and just again, it was like this. That was the kind of geographics I did, just change my externals upside down, change my image, and it'll make me a new person. I mean, I came back east to take care of my mother, who her new husband had died. I couldn't take care of anybody. I had two black eyes. Two black eyes, a broken nose, dyed black hair, all sorts of diseases. You know, not the least, the major one is addiction. And I came back here to get my life together back east. And my bottom was becoming a straight person. My bottom was that the worse I got with drugs, the more I tried to make my outsides, my externals, look like I was a straight person. So I started dressing in really straight clothes. I got a straight job being a secretary. I got a straight-ish, he was an addict, but he promised me a house in New Jersey with a white picket fence. And I thought that if I did all those things, then I wasn't really in an abandoned building with a needle in my arm. That was my bottom, I think. You know, I lost a lot of things, but really I lost my dreams. Because I sort of always had thought that I was a girl, I could be anybody, I could do anything. I was talking about this at the meeting. I wanted to be a spy. I wanted to be like a 1980s Mata Hari. I wanted to be the first drug dealer to get on the David Frost show. I wanted to be a movie star. I wanted to be a rock and roll star. I wanted to be a foreign correspondent, you know, for newspaper, for the Times. I wanted to do all these things, and all of a sudden what I was doing was I was giving it all up just so I could be a straight person and then I wouldn't be an addict. And that was my bottom. And I got my life back. I mean, my recovery has been about learning how I like to dress, what kind of music I like to listen to, what kind of people I like in my life, you know, where I want to live, what I want to do. I started a business. I made a career for myself. That's what, for me, recovery has just been like finding out who I am. And trying to accept myself being awkward. All the reasons that I started using, because I couldn't stand not being cool, my recovery has been about learning that it's okay to be human, okay to not be totally cool all the time, and the fact that I can be loved, or maybe people love me more for being so human and awkward sometimes. So I think that's really it. That's all you get. Is that okay? You have any more questions?
No spiritual path, right?
Spiritual path? Am I on a spiritual path? Yeah, of course.
And how long have you been playing with that kind of stuff?
I think October will be 5 years.
But you haven't had anything?
Yeah, I haven't had anything. I quit smoking, in fact. Well, only a few weeks, but I mean, I've tried many times. I'm finally accepting being powerless over it. I think I'm on the first spiritual path. You know, I think I always was a spiritual seeker. You know, going to for gurus and Krishna and drugs I liked. I mean, I even believed, you know, totally believed heroin was a spiritual drug. But I believe that spirituality is like learning how to live in this world and be loving. You know, because I live in this world today. I don't have to like run off and I don't know, hibernate, meditate in that way that I used to, you know, with a sheet over my head for 2 hours a day, which I did used to do. I feel much more spiritual today because I am able to live in this world and I'm able to love people. A big change in me, it's like I spent my life feeling I was different from everybody else and in fact feeling it was bad to be like other people, but I didn't want to be mediocre. And I finally learned that being like other people or sharing the same feelings with other people is the biggest blessing of being human. Making my life to other humans. I don't always have to be different. And I sure don't have to kill myself to be different. So, anything else?
That's great.
I love you, Chris.